Be the third message tonight. I don't know. All right. Here you go. Okay. Let me see. James chapter 1. That's where we're at tonight. You know, sometimes preachers have it. I know you probably don't know this. You've never experienced this in this church. But sometimes preachers have a tendency to get a little long-winded. Yeah, and there's this story about this church where this preacher, he was a good pastor. His wife was a good pastor's wife. They loved the congregation. They loved serving God. But the guy had a tendency to, like, really go long, like an hour and a half, you know. And people loved his preaching, and certainly his heart was clear. He wanted to help, but he, you know, it just got a little long. And even people ladies made comments to his wife, you know. So they wanted to be a blessing, so they wanted to address the problem. If he was preaching too long, they didn't get offended. So they discussed it, and they come up with a plan. So that he would limit, so that he would, you know, finish in a timely manner. And so the plan they came up with was this. He would take a mint. He would take a mint, breath mint, pop it in his mouth when he started preaching. And that thing was a hard mint, and it would take, you know, 40 minutes to dissolve. It worked out really well. That thing, just as it got ready to disappear, he'd wrap it up. Bring that, land the plane, we used to say. And it worked out well. And ladies complimented the wife. They said, man, that's such a blessing. We're getting so much more. I learned in Bible school, one of my teachers said, the seat, the mind will only absorb what the seat will endure. Amen. So anyway. Everything was working great with this new plan they had. And then one day, one Sunday morning, he got to preaching, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and the clock's going around. And it went really long, and people were fidgeting and everything, and the Baptist salute, you know, goes up, you know. And when it was all said and done, his wife came in and said, honey, what happened? Everything was going so good. He goes, I know, I reached in my pocket, and instead of a mint, I pulled out a button. Fear not, this is not a button. And you don't have to worry, I'm not going to put it in my mouth now, because you might be dodging fragments, I don't know. But with all that being said, James chapter 1. Mrs. Wonderful and I enjoy our Christianity. We enjoy being around God's people. Amen. We're not of the number that take themselves so seriously, and we take him seriously. We take his book seriously. We take service of the Lord seriously. But it's okay to have a good time, isn't it? I know it is. I've been here before. Time to get serious. James chapter 1. And look with me in verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says this. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And as soon as I read that about a good gift, perfect gift coming down from the Father above, first thing I think about is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And then when he left, the next good and perfect gift that came down from the Father was the Holy Spirit. Amen. Two examples. That's what came to my mind, so that's what you got. Amen. That's what I said. But verse 18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. He begat us with the word of truth. It says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the first perfect gift is the Lord himself. The second is the Holy Spirit. And the third is the word of God, infallible, inerrant. This is a gift from God. And it's not, it should not be neglected. Let's pray and then I'll go on. Father, I love you and I thank you once again for those that have come out tonight. And I pray and ask, Lord God, that you just enable me, help me to stay on track and say something that'll be according to thy will and glorify him to your son. I don't know everybody in here, Lord. I don't know if everybody's saved or not. I know a bunch of these folks. I've known them a long time. I don't know who's listening from afar. I don't have any idea about that. I know this, though. Everybody needs to be saved. And if there's somebody here, there, or anywhere that's not, I pray that they'd get closer to being born again tonight, maybe even tonight. Father, just bless this church and the stand that it's taken to speak the truth in this community all these decades. And I just pray you meet with us tonight in a mighty way. And I pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, us, our camp, our crowd, whoever we are Bible believers. Can I get an amen there? Or I promise I'll start over. Did I get one? An amen? We're Bible believers. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. Now, I should have said it already, but we're going to be mainly in James 1. But let me read you a couple verses out of Psalm 12. It says this in verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Now, isn't this simple to me? Either that's true or it's not. And if it's not, if he did not preserve and keep his word like he promised, you and I need to be worried. Because how do you know any of the rest of it's true? But truth of the matter is, it's all true. That's why we call ourselves Bible believers. And we believe that not only that's true, but that the words are preserved in the AV 1611. The King James Bible. Amen. Two things that are different are not the same. Doesn't matter what they look like. Amen. There's got to be the inspired, inerrant, preserved Word of God somewhere. Right. Yeah. And the Spirit of God has borne witness to this book for over 400 years. Amen. Amen. So, we're Bible believers. Frequently, a Bible believers Baptist church comes up on my itinerary. I mail out an itinerary. It's on my website. And there's a number of churches around the country by that name. I mean, there's Bible Baptist, but Bible Believers Baptist Church. And I kind of did some math here. I got two in California. There's five in the state of Florida, one in Missouri, one in Georgia, two in Texas, one in Oregon, one in New York, two in Ohio, one in Virginia, one in Indiana, and one in England. Bible Believers Baptist, we're pretty serious about being identified as Bible believers. Amen. I have a sister-in-law down in Memphis area, and her and my brother-in-law got saved under Adrian Rogers' preaching and outreach of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis. That's a humongous Southern Baptist Church. They put an exit in on Interstate 40 for Bellevue Baptist Church. And I wouldn't doubt Bellevue Baptist Church, somebody in there paid for it. I preach in cities smaller than Bellevue Baptist Church. It's huge. Amen. And they don't take a firm stand on the Bible like Adrian Rogers did. I listen to Adrian Rogers preach. He's good. Amen. But they went there and, listen, saved. I'm not going to go in there and start slicing and dicing and disparaging the people that brought them to Christ. That's stupid. Amen. So my sister-in-law, she said to me one time, she received my itinerary, and on that section, whether it was 6 months or a year, I don't know, but the word Bible Believer Baptist Church came up more than a few times. And she asked me this, David, Is Bible Believers y'all's denomination? And I said, yep. That's the name of our denomination. Amen. Now I preach meetings in a few churches, about four or five churches across the country that aren't Baptist. But I don't preach any meetings in churches that aren't Bible believers. Right. Amen. That's a big deal. So we're talking about the Bible tonight. That's why we sing about the Bible tonight. Look at verse number 19. The next verse, back to James 1. And so it goes on and says this, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen. Kind of sounds like talking gets you in trouble. Amen. And so number one, if we're numbering it tonight, would be we're to be hearers. It said, let every man be swift to hear. Hearing is more important than talking. It's this simple. God gave you two ears and one mouth. Amen. This Bible is just so hard to understand, isn't it? Amen. And the truth of the matter is you learn by hearing. You learn by paying attention. Amen. And Ephesians 5 says we're to walk circumspectly. What does that mean? It means to be aware of what's going on around you. I went to infantry school in Fort Polk, Louisiana in 1971, and here's what they taught us to be aware of what's going on around you at all times, or if not, you'll get killed. That's a Bible principle. Amen. And you learn by paying attention and by hearing. Someone said, well, I have ADD, and I'm beginning to believe that most Americans have attention deficit disorder, and it's because of that cell phone. And it is amazing. I'm beginning to take note. I mean, I've watched people jaywalk in Manhattan. That's a dangerous place to be on foot. Anyway, and now people are stepping. I've watched people pull up to a light in Manhattan and other places in New York City where the old saying was, the only thing quicker than the twinkling of an eye is how long it takes a New Yorker to lay on the horn after a light turns green. I mean, they're waiting. They're not. And now you go to Manhattan now, and people are looking at their phone, and people are starting honking. They're not even moving anymore. They used to be watching. It's crazy. It's crazy. The devil's done his job well, and this ain't the message tonight, but his greatest accomplishment is that putting that smartphone in our pockets, I really believe. And I have one. I'm not preaching against it. I have a phone and a wife that's smarter than me. Amen. I threatened to go back to the flip phone, but I never did get texting down too good, and I do want to communicate with my children and grandchildren and get those pictures. So, but I tell you what, it's a tool in my toolbox, and I got to keep my guard up like you ought to, not to let it dominate your life. That's right. Because there's things going on around us that we're not aware of because we're not looking up anymore. Amen. All right, so we're Bible believers. He said, "Be swift to hear," and here we hear. We hear the word of God. Amen? That's what you hear preached here, isn't it? We've already established what the word of God is. And you hear the word of God in Sunday school. Amen. Isn't that right? And Bible studies. And there's Bible Institute around. And we hear it at blowouts. My favorite meeting to go to is a blowout. The Bad Attitude Baptist Blowout. Amen. And people say, well, see, you guys have a terrible spirit. Yes, we have a terrible attitude, bad attitude towards sin. Not you, brother, sin. I'm still wrapping my head around that. Amen. I said, is sin? Are you saved? Wait a minute. Can sin be? Okay, keep on track, Spurgeon. We hear, there's a jubilee at Dr. Peacock Church every, you know what you're going to hear when you go down there besides the great singing? You're going to hear preaching. You're going to hear the word of God. I was raised in a church that had several camp meetings a year, and we heard the Word of God, which is helpful, because I started so far behind the curve, it helped me get caught up a little bit. We have revival meetings, and I'm going to preach the Bible, but I know that everybody else you let in here is going to do the same thing. We hear it. So be swift to hear. Now we live in a day and age where it's live streamed. Live streamed. I remember COVID hit, and live streaming became... Well, I that's when it got my attention. And this is one of the first churches I came to once they started lifting the curfew. Amen. And the seats were all spread out. Remember that? Seats were spread out. You had to wear a mask to come in and get to your seat. Remember that? And then you could take your mask off when you got to your seat. Then a preacher called for an offering, and the ushers had to put their mask on
to come and walk up and down the aisles with the, remember that? Remember that? And then I got in the pulpit and I said this. I used to take up offering with a mask on and it was illegal. Amen. And but you hear preaching. You hear it now live stream. There's a thing called sermon audio. Amen. I had a guy call me the other day. He was listening to me on sermon audio. I didn't even know I was on there for sure. I don't listen to that. Amen. I think if you got nothing better to do than listen to Dave Spurgeon on sermon audio, you need to get a life. That's what I think. Amen. But a Final Fight Bible Radio is a thing. Amen. And there's a YouTube. Boy, you need to be real careful. There's some heresies on that thing with some slick, dressed up, smooth-talking devils that are putting out heresy and bad doctrine that pastors have to deal with. We get people, we invite people, people saved, they come to church, they've been listening to stuff on the internet. Sometimes our members that have been going a long time are supplementing what they're getting from the Bible with stuff on the internet, and then the pastor's got to deal with that and straighten that stuff out. You need to be real. There's some good stuff there, don't get me wrong. But what I am saying is this, man, we're hearing the Word of God, unlike ever, we even sing about it. Right. Remember, like a couple minutes ago? Blessed old book. Very important to be a hearer. No doubt about it. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing. Amen. And hearing by the Word of God. Amen. But look at verse 22. Now it says this. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It's important to be a hearer, but the admonition there is to be a doer as well. We hear it. We hear it. But the question is, and the title of this message is Do Something. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. Do something. Question for you. Now, we've already acknowledged that we're hearing it at an unprecedented rate. But the question is, what are you doing with all this hearing? All right? You're here that you should acknowledge Him in all your ways. Amen. But if you're honest, and I don't want to raise a hand. Show of hands or not like that. But if you're honest, don't you often lean under thine own understanding? I do. The more experience you get, amen, the older you get, you got this, you know what to do. But the Bible teaches us that we should talk to God in all our ways. Amen? And so I don't know about you, I drop the ball there sometimes. Amen. You hear that you should come to church faithfully, don't you? Hebrews 10:24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I am looking for that day. I am looking for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I would say, most of professing Christianity doesn't even know what day that's talking about. And I guarantee you the rest of the world has no clue, but you and I are supposed to. And if you do, you heard it, and that same verse that tells you about it tells you that you should be in church when it's assembling. Amen. You look up that word, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I'm a military guy. When you look up the word forsake, do you know that one of the words that defines forsake is desert? We're not talking about banana pudding here. Amen. And when I was in the military, desertion in time of war was an executionable offense. I don't want to be guilty of anything. I don't want to lay out and skip church when I could have been there. I don't want to let some nickel-dime stupid thing keep me out of church and put me in any way, shape, or form associated with a traitor or a deserter. That's how you look at stuff, isn't it? Yeah, that's how I look at stuff. Where'd you get that? Well, right out of the King James Bible. Amen. So let me ask you, does your faithfulness exhort other believers? Exhorting one another? Or are you as the manner of some is? What's that mean? Well, is it convenient? You know, here's a discussion her and I have never had. Honey, you feel like going to church tonight? She'd hit me with something if I ever said that. Amen. And I married a gal that would never stay home. And I won't either. Because I want to be here. But I got a Bible that says I'm supposed to be, and I'm a Bible believer. Amen. Sometimes I wonder if we shouldn't put more emphasis on being Bible practicers. Amen. Because we hear these things. You hear that you should study. Rightly divide. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, dispensation, Brother Sin and I were talking about earlier, if you don't rightly divide the word of God, you will wrongly divide it. And the source of every heresy is from people taking the word of God out of context. Amen. Brother Ruckman used to call that the most dangerous book ever written. You can prove anything you want from that book right there. Amen. You take it out of context. It's dangerous. People do it. People have been doing it forever. But it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. So let me ask something tonight. How's your approval rating with the Lord? Or do you just think going to church is all there is to this? It might be that way down the road one way or another, but we're Bible believers. Amen. We hear it. We're admonished to hear it. But at the same time, we're also admonished to do something with what we're hearing. Amen. You hear that you should hide it in your heart. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You hide the word of God in your heart. You study it. You hide the word of God in your heart. You make it part of your fabric. You memorize it. You embrace it. You take it seriously. The more you're around it, the more you're exposed to it, the more it finds a place in your heart, which will come in awful handy when you find yourself in a situation where you don't have your Bible with you or your little phone app. I had to throw that in. Amen. And I'm not preaching against phone app, but I'm a fan of the old-fashioned book. Amen. But I got verses memorized. Amen. And so let me say this. Do you have victory over sin? And I listen, we're far from perfect. We're not sinless. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I've made a lot of progress in the last 35 years. Amen. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I was a little rough around the edges at first. Before I got, you know, smooth and suave and debonair. And all that. My preacher once said, now, David, you get out there preaching, beware of becoming so professional that you lose the David Spurgeon that God called. I mean, I'm off the foolish, weak, base, things that are despised. That's a list I got called. And as we can see, we're in no danger of me getting so professional. Amen. I'm just trying to do the best I can with what God gave me. And that's what you ought to be doing. Amen. And so again, you hide the word of God in your heart and you'll gain ground on the sin in your life. We're sinners by nature. But if you're not making any progress, if you get frustrated, and I mentioned it this morning, you just write it into the script. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to get in the word of God and victory will come. Amen. If you're working at it, if you're trying, you hear that you're to be witnesses everywhere. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 starts in Jerusalem and ends up in the outermost part of the earth. Amen. So you're supposed to be witnesses in the area where you live. You're supposed to be witnesses when you go to town. You're supposed to be witnesses when you go on vacation. You're supposed to be witnesses everywhere. Well, how could I be a witness in Mongolia? I'm glad you brought that up. You can pray for my nephew, Craig Fitzgerald. And missionaries all over the world. And you guys are seriously mission minded. Amen. That's how you do it. We're to be witnesses everywhere we go. Amen. Are you? Do you carry gospel tracts? Amen. And do you look for opportunities to hand out a tract? You should. You should be thinking that way when you leave the house. I mean, I get it. It's Sunday. Today, you're a Christian. I mean, but if you're saved, you're a Christian tomorrow, aren't you? At work or at school or at the grocery or wherever you go. And there's opportunities. Bible Christianity, this isn't Bible Christianity. This is just where we get our batteries refreshed. We get reproved, rebuked, and exhorted, Lord willing, with all longsuffering and doctrine. But Bible Christianity takes place when you take what you get here out there. In some churches I go to, it'll be over, right over the door. As you go out, you're now entering the mission field, and that's 100% correct. And it's scary to me, the thought, but we're the only hope that lost and dying world's got. But it pays off. Amen. Somebody got to me. Where were you? Amen. When this thing got real. Amen. And you're here. You're told. You hear. That's where we're going. You hear. You're to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And you know what? We're here not just Sunday. You invite, we got a special speaker on Sunday. Well, I have my own church. And I feel like saying, yeah, but it'll be a lot better at my church. But we're not supposed to do that. But Monday, Tuesday, let's face it, even a lot of Baptists aren't going to church on Wednesday anymore or Sunday night. But you can invite them Thursday and Friday. And you need to take advantage of that opportunity to invite people. So when was the last time a visitor came? Because of your effort. Ever? And some of we got visitors tonight because somebody invited them. And then some of you have never had a visitor come. And if you've invited people and they don't come, well, that probably happens more than the other. But God forbid it. You never had a visitor because you never invited. Amen. We ought to try. Amen. This list could go on and on. And I'm obviously having more fun than some of you right now, I can tell. Amen. But we hear what to do. We're to be hearers, and we hear it. But we're supposed to, well, not be hearers only, but doers of the word. And we often drop the ball when it comes to doing it. And that's why you need to be reminded. That's why you're reminded every Sunday and every Wednesday to some degree. That's why church is important. And then on occasion, you have things like this, a revival. Concentrated dose of the Word of God and the singing of the hymns that stir the heart of fellowship one with another. You can't get this on sermon audio. Sorry if you're watching from home. I hope you got a good reason. But there's a pretty good bunch of people, and they're pretty good to talk to. And that book says iron sharpeneth iron. And if you could be in church and you're settling for it's like fast food drive-through meal and rather than Thanksgiving dinner. So if that's your habit, you're not at home. I don't know where I'm talking, but I'm trying to find the camera. You're missing out. Amen. That was fun. I like doing that. Amen. We're supposed to be doers. Now listen, I don't know what I know, but this message is not a rebuke. I love you guys. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to find something to do for the Lord. Now let me just throw this thing, and hold in your Bible and James, your place in James chapter 1. I heard Dr. Ruckman say one time, all right, hold your place there in John and go to Ezekiel and get John in one hand and Ezekiel in the other hand. And I dropped my Bible just trying to do that. I never figured that. So I'm warning you, hold your place, put a gospel tract. You know, they can't believe it. Put a gospel tract as a place marker and go over to, I forgot where, but go somewhere. It's all good. Acts chapter 6. I ran out because I gave them all away. Where did I go? For lunch with the pastor? And no, I didn't. They're on my desk. I forgot them. Now, let me say this. preachers, I'm talking about getting serious about doing something for God, unless you get the idea, like some people, that preachers are called to serve. They're not the only ones. Acts chapter 6. All right, let me get that. Acts chapter 6. I hesitate to say what I'm thinking about saying, but I probably will. You know me. Look at verse 1. It said, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Amen. That sounds like the First Baptist Church right there. And then it says, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So we're talking about their first deacons coming up here. And I want you to know that it happened because of women. Okay, let's move on real fast. Verse 22. And the 12 disciples, Judas is out, the other guy got voted in. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men. Number one, honest report. Number two, full of the Holy Ghost. And number three, of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Don't you want your preacher to be praying for you? The Bible says in Hebrews 13 that he gives account for you. Amen. And you want him to minister you the word of God. You don't want him to get up here and just tell you what he thinks. Those verses right there prove that it is not just the preacher's responsibility to do the things that I'm getting ready to tell you, suggest to you. Now, they're suggestions for you, believer, the hearers. Now, by the qualifications we're given, if you're dishonest, you're off the hook. Amen. If you're not saved, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you're off the hook. And if you're just a dumbbell, you're off the hook. But if you're full of an honest report and the Holy Ghost and wisdom, well, you got some responsibility. Amen. We had a camp meeting, and one of the first ones I ever went to, maybe the one that I surrendered my life, and our church had a theme, had a big banner up. It said, get the seed out of the barn. Amen? And that's what we're supposed to do, is get the seed, the gospel tract, the gospel itself, out of the church house and out there. We need to be doing something. So I'm going to give you some things to do. Some church, I don't know what you do here, and you may do all these things, you may do some of them, but it's a good thing to do is knock on doors. Knock on doors. Invite people to church. Amen. Some people overemphasize that, maybe, and some people, the backlash is they underemphasize it. And they say, well, we did that, and nobody came. Listen, that was 1972. You can try it again. You know, people move, people die, people need change in their life, and we need to knock on doors. Here we live in the day and age of the Ring doorbell. The Ring doorbell. Amen. And people, I mean, both cars in the driveway, you can hear the TV, you can smell the dinner cooking, and they're not answering the door like they're not home. They ain't fooling nobody. They're inside looking at their phone waiting for you to leave. Say, what do you do? Well, our church came up with it, well, they didn't invent it, but we use door hangers, and we have things and hanging on the door. I preached at Staten Island last year, and that preacher, like was done here, they're nice and friendly to visitors, and a pastor took their names and said, we're happy to have so-and-so here. Then he said this. So how did you guys happen to be with us today? And sometimes people say, well, I was invited by so-and-so or, you know, something like that. And all three of these people that came said, so, and they had the track with the church info, and they said, somebody hung this on our door. So we had three visitors the morning I preached and that came to church because somebody cared enough to go around and hang that on their door. Amen. Isn't that good? When that invitation came, three people got saved that morning. Amen. All three of them people that were invited, it wasn't my eloquence, they came to church to hear the word of God because somebody hung a door hanger on their door. Amen. And you can do that. Now, maybe you're like me. You've been all busted up. You're not good at walking. Amen. You know what our church does? Now, our church does this. They have a night where they do visitation, but they also have a night where people come, sometimes children, some of the older people, and they'll stuff them door hangers, man. They'll spend an hour there in fellowship and get the stuff prepared that the, and we're talking about doing something. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you, do something. That's a good thing to do. Amen. Street work. I mean, it's interesting. Go out on the street. Go out on the street. And people say, well, I'm not a preacher. Amen. Well, can you hold a gospel sign? Can you stand there with a gospel tract when people walk by? Amen. And you got to use your head. I was in Oswego one time at this church, and there was a guy come walking by, and I said, hey, can I give you something to read about what God did for me? And he didn't want it. He didn't take it, and he kept walking. He said, what's God ever done for me? And I yelled out, take a breath, dummy. And you realize, okay, that's not really very eloquent. But that's the truth, man. What has God done for you? You woke up today. Amen. That God did that. He didn't owe you the breath you're breathing. Amen. We were in a street in Dayton, Ohio at 1 year. And so I'm street preaching, and I'm not, people are not really receptive. But my wife and girls are singing a song on the corner. Amen. So then some of you know my little girl, Evie. She's coming here when she is 8 or 9 years old. And I talked to these three businessmen. They're on their lunch break. We're downtown at noon. And I tried to give them something. They kind of looked down at you, and wouldn't take the track, kind of scoffed. And they went down about 20 feet. And here's my little girl, about 8 years old. Said, I give you something to read about my daddy? Oh, yes, thank you, sweetheart. And I thought, they wouldn't take it from me, but God had a little girl right up. Good thing she is out there. Amen. You can do something. Hold a sign. Nursing home ministry. Our church has a couple nursing homes, and they go. Our church has jail ministry. I had a guy say, well, people get, they say they get saved, and then they get out, and they never come to church. Guy asked me one time, said, do you believe any of them guys really get saved in church, in jail? And I said, that's about the stupidest thing could ask me, ain't it? Amen. And not every door isn't open to everybody, but I'm trying to encourage you to find something that you can do. Amen. Rescue missions. I don't know if there's a rescue mission around here or not, but that's a good open door. Our Bible Institute used to send a guy every Saturday 65 miles to Jimmy Hood's mission in Columbus, and because they had to listen to a message before they could eat. That's a good motivator, get people to sit still. They're hungry. Amen. We took the opportunity, amen, to preach to them. I got called to preach there, amen, at that rescue mission. Just going, hanging around. Rehab centers, amen. There are opportunities. There's rehab centers everywhere, amen. Talk to somebody. Some of these things like prisons and hospitals, they've got people on staff that are definitely milk, toast, watered down, not making a difference. And then you knock on the door and say, hey, do you mind if we come for free? And they're like, oh, you mean you'll come and do my job and I can sit in my office and do nothing? And they'll let you come often. Amen. County fairs. That's a good ministry. Amen. Different churches have county fair ministries where they take that week, set up a table, and give out tracts. Parades. We used to track the parade. Amen. 4th of July and some other one. I can't remember what it was. They're in our hometown in Dayton area. Amen. Outside of Dayton. Flea markets. Amen. People like flea markets. Wouldn't it be good to have a table with Bibles? I mean, you could give them away. Amen. I was in Houston, Texas at a church, and they were talking about the gun show ministry. That got my attention. Amen. The gun show. You mean you could rent a table and sit there and hand out gospel tracts and stuff at a gun show? It sounded good to me. I checked into it there in Dayton. And even though I'm a federal convicted felon, I mean, that doesn't matter. I'm allowed to be in the room. I'm just not allowed to be touching them stuff. And I don't either because people have cell phones and social media, and I ain't taking no chances. But then they said, okay, to register, you got to pay. Whatever the price was, wasn't crazy. But you got to be there when it opens on Saturday and stay there till it closes. All right. And then you got to be there when it opens on Sunday and stay there till it closes. And Lord, no way Lord was letting me get out of church
to go man a table at the gun show. So I didn't do that. But people have done that. I'm not suggesting that. Amen. I'll tell you, we're talking about doing something. And you guys got this. You understand this. There are people at all the churches we go to. It is amazing to me the people that have gifts and talents, whether it's singing or the ability to play beautiful musical instruments. Amen. In some churches, like you guys, you get that, and you're using your gifts and talents for the Lord. And some people, they don't. They don't do nothing. There are churches where I know that the pastor didn't even know so-and-so could play a violin or a trumpet or sing a special. And I'm trying to create, get out of your comfort zone and do something for God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I tell you something, when I had a hip replaced a year and a half ago, and I'm sure somebody prayed for me because it was in my prayer letter, but it came out fine, and thank you for your tax dollars. The VA takes great care of me, but this one church, now I got some texts, but this one church, for about 5 weeks, I got 2 or 3 cards a week, get well cards, and they all came from one church in New York City. Amen. And of course, I went there 6 months later, and I found out, I thanked them for it, and I found out this church has a get well card ministry. And some of the elderly ladies, which, like, what does that mean, honey? Our age, I guess? I don't know. And they would get together. We'd put out prayer requests. Amen. And they would pray for so-and-so. They're healing up. They're sick. They're in the hospital. And they would get together once a week. And they took that seriously. They got the addresses. And they were sending cards out. Amen. And I had them all lined up in my office at home. I couldn't go nowhere. And it just, you know, I get it. People pray. But that was a ministry to them. Amen. I'm going to tell you a ministry that often needs some help. It was mentioned tonight. Not that I'm worried that they won't get the help that they asked for, but there's some churches where I guess everybody thinks that's part of the pastor's wife's job description to work the nursery. And you can help out in the nursery. You need to understand that is that's a blessing. We've been in churches. My wife would go, and there are churches there. We go to a lot of very small churches, and sometimes that maybe one person is manning the nursery all the time, and sadly, sometimes it's the preacher's wife. And my wife would get there, and we had three girls, and they were all trained, amen. And my wife would check in with the pastor's wife and say, "Hey, listen, we're here, and you need help in the nursery. You can put us on the list." Don't try that with her now. I need her more than you do. And people, and I thought, yeah, that's right. She's trying to help. You know what she found out? There are ladies in churches that never sit in on the service. That's where they're hiding out. And when she realized that, she'd definitely make a point to volunteer. So they had to come in and hear the preaching. Amen. Amen? Then I figured out the reason she's doing all that volunteering is because she doesn't want to hear that message again. She goes, "Well, what are you preaching tonight?" And then next thing I know, she's in the nursery. She still does it to me. But you could be doing something so that ladies that are out helping can kind of rotate so they can hear the word. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. I didn't really mean that seriously because I know it makes sense. Amen. How many have heard the expression, "step up to the plate"? Everybody in there, raise your hand. Amen. And it's time for some of you to step up to the plate. Sometimes you don't even realize that you can be a blessing or used of God because somebody else is doing it and you're just taking it for granted. But things change. Amen. Here's a novel idea. Now, Paul thought of it. Saul was his name at the time. But within minutes, it looks like, of being saved, he said, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" I'm trying to encourage you to do something. Here's an idea. Ask your pastor, what can you help with? What needs to be done? What ministry is lacking? What needs to be done around here? Amen. And that's what we're supposed to be doing because we're supposed to have it in our head that we're supposed to be not hearers only, but doers of the word. Now, that's all makes sense, but there's a great danger. And that'll be our last point. There's a great danger in being hearers only. Look at verse 23. We're in James chapter 1. In verse 23, and it says, I'll read 22 again, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And here's the deception. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. There's a song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to read it, recite it. And you've heard it before, and it goes something like this. I love that man in the middle. Heard it? I love that man in the middle because I know that he first loved me. Any question about who that's talking about? Thanks to the man who died on Mount Calvary, the middleman made it possible that I might go free. Amen. So here's the danger. If you don't get involved somewhere, the man in the middle gets replaced by the man in the mirror. Amen? The man beholding his natural face and is in a glass. People love looking at themselves. Amen. We had converted a bus we brought here 26 years ago, parked it out back, got stuck. Brother Stanton had to come in the dump truck and pull us out. Amen. And I'll tell you what you got to do if you're going to convert a Greyhound bus to the ministry. You got to put in a lot of bunks. I'm an Army guy, but my bus looked more like a submarine. A ship with bunks 24 inches. Every time somebody moved, I'd restructure it and give everybody a little more room. Amen. And you had to have a big generator. 10,000-watt diesel generator I had in that bus. Here's why. Because if I wanted to be able to make coffee, I had to compete with curling iron and blow dryers of four females, and I had to have a lot of electricity. And amen. And not only do you have to have a lot of electricity when you got a lot of females, amen, you had a lot of mirrors. So I had a vanity with a sink and everything on a big mirror. And then right behind it on the other side of this bus, this is pre-slide out days, there's another one, big mirror. And there's a mirror on the door. And I got four ladies going into church every night and they want to look their best for Jesus Christ. Amen. Me, I'm not hung up on looking. I go by the mirrors with my head down like this. I don't want to see myself. Amen. So I understood that. I understand you wanted to look good, look nice for Jesus Christ, not to attract the attention of others. Amen. This day and age, man, some of the guys I see are spending a little too much time in the mirror, if you ask me, but that's not tonight's message. Amen. Well, I'll say it again. People love looking at themselves, and a cell phone has given them the opportunity to do that. Anywhere and everywhere. We've been around the country. We go to national parks. We've been to the Grand Canyon. Somebody asked my wife, if you had a chance to see one place to visit, what would be the most memorable? And she said, see the Grand Canyon. And it ain't the only one, but it's pretty amazing. Amen. God did that for us. Amen. That's my opinion. And I used to go to Grand Canyon, and people would be there with big cameras and taking pictures. And now you go to the Grand Canyon, and you see people getting off the little trolley tour bus and walking out by the railing, and instead of having a camera, all they have is a phone camera. And instead of taking a picture of Grand Canyon, they're doing this. They're taking selfies. I hate that word. Taking a natural wonder like the Grand Canyon or the Rocky Mountains or a sunset, and instead of appreciating it because of because they know who made it, they're using it as a backdrop for a picture of their own head. And the neatest thing, and I'm going to point this out about selfies, whenever I get my picture sent, sometimes. And there's two people, One head's always like this big and the other one's little, and that's the one on the end of the arm. Isn't that interesting? You need to look at that sometime. Maybe you'll delete some of your own pictures with a big old head sticking out there. The hearing of the Word of God, amen, ought to cause you to want to do something for the Lord. And if you don't, it just remains to be all about you. And there's a verse there in Proverbs 36:12, it says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than him." Go to verse 24. Verse 24, beholding, and we finished verse 23, beholding his natural face in a glass, that's not hard, looking in a mirror. Verse 24, "For he beholdeth himself," that's what you're going to see in a mirror, "and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." I'll tell you what, the last thing David Spurgeon ever wants to do is goeth his way. Amen? I did that for 37 years. It didn't work out so well. Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man." We can talk ourselves into anything. Believe me, trust me. But the end thereof are the ways of death. You don't want to go your way. You get to looking at yourself. When it becomes all about you and no longer about him, so how do we know about him? Being a doer of the word. Amen. Amen. Hearing it and then putting it into practice, and he gets more and more real. But if you don't do that, you can tuck it under your arm, but it just remains all about you. Proverbs 14:14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, but a good man shall be satisfied from himself." Amen. We are in a Walgreens or CVS, one of them places where they put Time magazine up by the checkout thing. And we saw one time, it was a while ago, but it had a young person, and I'm not picking on young people, but it had a young person on the cover with a phone in their hand, holding it up, taking a picture, a selfie. You see that all the time. But the title of the magazine was the Me Generation. I bought it. Amen? I looked at it. Topics included NPD. Amen. NPD. That does not a police department. It stands for Narcissistic Personality Disorder. My Bible says most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. So that's a thing with the me generation. Participation trophies were discussed. Probably the first time I heard about that. No winning. Can't have winners. Might make the losers feel bad. I don't know about you, but if there's no winning, doesn't that make everybody losers? I don't want to be a loser. I was a loser and Jesus found me. I don't want to be a loser anymore. Amen? We live in the day and age of social media. Likes. Likes are important. Isn't that the word they use? Likes. Amen. Thumbs up. Likes. Likes are more important than right and wrong. Amen. Friending. And defriending, I'll talk to somebody, say a name will come up, some Christian across the country. Yes, I'm talking to them. I went, wow, how did you guys meet? What path? What meeting? How'd you ever cross? Oh, no, I've never met them, but we're friends on social media. Amen. Amazing to me. Amen. Defriending or unfollowing. Amen. It is considered the ultimate hostile act. I read that. You need to get out more. I can show you some seriously more serious hostile acts than Amen. In this day and age, it's mentioned that this constant need for constant affirmation, like petting your dog on the head, it has spawned the age of contemporary Christianity. Right. Contemporary Christianity means no preaching on sin. Amen. No standards. No convictions, no judgment, just love, love, love. I mean, isn't Jesus love? Is that the only verse you read? Amen? That is what I would consider a mile wide and an inch deep. And that's modern Christianity.
Amen. And I'll tell you the truth now, the world I came out of, I got saved in jail. I started coming to church. I didn't plan on ever being a church member. I was getting ready to go to penitentiary. But I got into a church, and you know what held my attention? You know why I kept going back? Because people believe that book, really believe that book. And I thought, I've been looking for something real for 37 years. This is it. Amen. And if I'd have got caught up and went and visited one of these modern things, and I'm not saying they're not nice people, and I'm not saying they're not saved, some of them. But I'm telling you this, you're talking about the shallow end of the pool, buddy. And there ain't no growing in the grace and knowledge, and okay, well, everybody, but you ain't never going to do nothing for God if you stay the babe, the infant. Amen. Amen. The only person that loves that stuff is the devil. The verse goes on and says, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Forgetting why you got saved. And if you want a refresher, I'm going to tell you why. Because you was on your way to a devil's hell without the purchase of your redemption. And that's why you got saved. And who saved you? Listen, I'll tell you, David Spurgeon did not turn over a new leaf. David Spurgeon did not clean up his act. And people do it. And people get involved in programs, AA and things like that. I don't slam all them programs. You can get help from them programs. And they work on biblical principles. Biblical principles won't get you into heaven when this world is done, this life is done. Only Jesus Christ. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Don't forget who saved you, who gave it, says of the Lord. And in Titus 2:13 said, looking for that blessed open, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself forth that he might redeem us from all iniquity. That's who saved you. You did not save you. No program saved you. If you're saved, amen. You forget what manner of man you were. You forget why you got saved and who it was that saved you. That will get you in trouble. It won't keep you out of heaven if you're really saved, but it'll make for a train wreck in this life and rob you from any potential of doing anything to help anybody else. Remembering those things, why you got saved and who it was that saved, remembering those things will keep you out of trouble. Amen. We're talking about hearers and doers. And so which one should you be? Both. Not hearers only, but doers of the word. And now I'll wrap it up with verse 25. Verse 24, it ended with, forgetteth what manner man he was. But, verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You want to be blessed? The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Spiritual growth comes from hearing and learning. The blessings of God, according to verse 25, come from doing something with all that hearing and all that learning. Are you saved in here tonight?
Amen.
It's time to do something for God.
Amen.
While you can. And you might rightfully be thinking, Brother Spurgeon, I am involved in this and that. And I am trying to be, well, good, praise the Lord. By all means, keep it up. Amen. Continue to set a good example for others to follow. And that's our duty. Hebrews 10:24, let us provoke one another unto love. And under good works. Amen. So your good example provokes others. That's a good example for them. Amen. And maybe you never thought about it this way before, like I put it to you tonight. So I'm trying to provoke you to think about it, to get involved. We got all this hearing. Amen. But let's get busy. Let's do something with it. And I'll finish with this. If you're not saved, it's time to do something with God.
If you're saved, do something for God. But if you're not, it's time to do something with God. It says in Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that confess with your mouth, that means admit you're a sinner. That's your part. You got to do that. Amen? And believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. That's you. You got to do that. You got to grasp that. And then the verse ends with, thou shalt be saved. So there's two parts for you and one for God. And I'm here to tell you, you do your part. God will do his part every time. You don't even have to worry about it. So if you're not saved, it's your move. He has done everything necessary, amen, for you to get your sins forgiven. And knowing all this stuff here doesn't get the job done. The Bible says, for with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. If you're in here and you're not saved, you need to get saved. Amen. You're listening at home or somewhere and you're not saved, you need to get saved. That's our duty to tell you that, to assume nothing. Let's all stand, head bowed, eyes closed. Let's all stand. Now let me say this before I get out of the preacher's way. Head bowed and eyes closed. There's going to be a little piano playing, and you can start anytime, brother. If you want to play something while I'm talking, then there'll be a hymn, and preacher will say some things, and it's pretty normal. But I want to say this. Head bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask that one more time. If you're in here tonight and you're saved, I want you to slip your hand up. You're saved. Not feel saved, not a good person, but if you're trusted in what Christ did on the cross to pay for your sin, slip your hand up. I'd like to see it. Okay. Put your hand down. Now, here's what I know. Now, if you've been here very many times, you might be the first time. I don't know. But if you've been here, some of you have been here a long time. And you know what? We know you have heard it. You've heard it. And I'm trying to encourage you to find something to do for Jesus Christ. And I know this too. Some of you are involved. Amen. So keep it up. And maybe somebody in here, you're saved, and whatever state you're at, whatever stage of your Christian growth, I'm trying to encourage you to realize that it's time to kick it up a notch and find something that you might could get involved with. Because there, not only is that just, I'm not a motivational preacher, I'm trying to tell you that if you don't, the Bible says you deceive yourself. And we live in a day and age, more than any that I know of, where people are thoroughly convinced that they're the center of the universe. And you are not. You don't want to fall into that trap, believer. So maybe you need to be praying. Maybe you can come up to an altar and say, God, help me figure out how to get involved somewhere. Maybe a good thing to learn how to do, again, that we've forgotten, is to go to an altar and talk to God. I don't know where we lost that, but it's a sad truth that we have lost it to a large degree. Now, if you're in here tonight and you don't know where you'd go to heaven, and you'd be honest enough to just raise your hand, clip your hand up. You're not saved. You don't know for sure. You don't want to go to hell. That's a given. But you're not sure, and you'd like me to pray for you, and I won't call you out or none of that foolishness, but I'll pray for you. And I tell you what, the first step toward getting saved is to admit you're not. So how about take this opportunity? Nobody's looking around. Just slip your hand up and put it back down. Anybody like that in here? Anybody in here tonight? Say, Brother Spurgeon, I'd appreciate prayer, and I'll pray for you. Now say this too. Maybe that would describe you to a T, and for whatever reason, you didn't raise your hands. You ain't tricking me, preacher. I know how you guys are. You'll have me ambushed before I get out to my car. Well, I do think about that stuff, but I promise not to. But I'll say this. If you're in here and you're not saved, maybe you feel a little on the spot. Well, we're almost done. I'll be here, and the pastor here, and Brother and Sister Legault are here.
and pull somebody aside and say, can we talk about this? And maybe you have questions, and we'll open the Bible and answer. I get it. Let's just do something with what we hear while we can. Preacher?